Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome into the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Weider of the Chicago Tribune. I'm Mark Grody of The Score. Dan and I spent the day watching a horrible, horrible Bears game. Final score, Patriots 19 and the Bears 3. You can use whatever adjective you want to describe this game, Dan, but this was an absolute worst case scenario for the Chicago Bears. As you lose your third straight game, you dip under 500, you lose to a trash team, and you lost looking horribly. Worst case scenario for the Chicago Bears today.
I use the adjectives lousy, miserable, uninspired. Those are three out of 175 possible options for today, Grody. What's more disappointing then the final result is just how stunningly uncompetitive the Bears were against a bottom-tier opponent on their home field. And that bottom-tier opponent, the 2-7 New England Patriots walking in here, didn't even play all that well. So let's call this what this was. This was a turd of epic proportions, and it leaves the Bears at a very, 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 very strange crossroads of needing to make some sort of change inside the building at House Hall, because this, whatever that was, can't go on, and I think you'd agree that it all starts with the offense.
It does. On the offense as a whole today, 142 total yards, 87 of which came in just a junk first half. Caleb Williams, 16 of 30, 120 yards, zero touchdowns, zero picks. He was sacked 9 times on the day for 51 yards. You know, some of this definitely belongs in the corner of Caleb Williams with the decisions that he was making today. I mean, not 100% all on him. But I'll tell you what, Dan, everything is on the table too in terms of what the fans are saying. Did it look like the Bears gave up? Yeah, it looked like the Bears gave up. It looked like the Bears were helpless out there, that there was nothing left. Even Caleb Williams at times, with that great ability to be elusive at times, was just like, that's it, I'm going down, I got to protect myself. So everything is on the table, and they need to do something more than just talking about stuff. Like, if you want to do things differently, because that's what Ryan Poles has said, like, this is different. Don't compare my regime to past regimes. Just because it sucked then doesn't mean it's going to suck now. But guess what? The same things are happening, and something real has to be done if they want to be the team that changes the Chicago Bears.
There are three people in that building that have to consider and discuss changes. Matt Eberflus is the head coach, Ryan Poles is the general manager, and Kevin Warren is the team president. There has to be some moments here in the next 15 hours where they discuss what's going wrong and what can be fixed immediately to change it. The least damaging option or the least significant change would be to push Shane Waldron out of the way as the offensive coordinator. You can keep him on the staff. You can keep him in a different role, and you move somebody else to call plays. Pass game coordinator Thomas Brown could be a candidate or someone else in there. But you can't continue going on like this. This is three consecutive weeks of offensive ineptitude at a point where you were supposed to be building momentum toward the NFC North stretch of games that's coming up beginning next week with the Packers here at Soldier Field. I spent a lot of time in my ChicagoTribune.com column, Grody, putting things on the table for the folks at House Hall to spread out in the conference room at House Hall and consider. I'll read you a few of them right now. Since returning from London, the Bears offense has had 34 possession and scored 27 points. They have not scored a touchdown on their last 23 possessions. Over those last 34 drives, they have scored two touchdowns total and punted 19 times. Today, 11 possessions, one field goal. Since coming out of the bye week, the Bears have held the lead for 25 seconds. Those were the final 25 ticks of the game in Washington. We all know what happened next. Here we are, 4-5, backsliding. Everything's on the table, and this is a mess.
Fair to point out that the Bears did play ultimately without three of their five starting offensive linemen as Tevin Jenkins went down with an injury, ankle injury in the middle of this game. You did not have either of your tackles, but guess what? Yeah, some of the pressure and some of the poor play was because of that, but most of it is just because they play badly. Let me say this, because there is some part of that with the offensive line. Definitely. And when you and I go back and watch the film, we're probably going to see some pretty, I know we're going to see some sloppy offensive line play. It didn't look like an NFL team out there, though, with that offensive line. And here's the thing. We were told by Ryan Poles, it was his opinion, that this was paraphrasing, or maybe I'm not even paraphrasing, the best depth he's ever seen on an offensive line, which should suggest that he was really happy with the starting five as well. So that's my way of saying excuse, yes, not an excuse to look like that, though.
Let's talk through the offensive line really quick. You entered the building today without four linemen. Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones declared out on Friday with knee injuries. Karan Amagaji also out. Nate Davis wakes up with a back issue, checks in with the trainer, is told, you can't play today. Your back hurts too much. Go home. We don't want you on your feet.
Go home. Yeah, exactly.
So that's four guys immediately that you don't have access to. Tevin Jenkins, first half injury. Fifth time in the last six games that Tevin Jenkins has gotten injured within a game. Listen, Tevin Jenkins' availability has been an issue since day one here. He has missed 19 games. I believe there's 10 others where he hasn't played even 50% of the snaps in the games. That's compared with 19 games in which he's played every offensive snap. He's not reliable enough. You can't keep going down that road. That's part of this. And when you can't provide comfort for a rookie quarterback, you've got issues. Well, now the offense isn't providing him comfort either, because somehow, some way, against this defense, which was ranked poorly in so many major statistical categories, you need to find answers to get your passing game going, to get your running game going, to get your quarterback settled, to get comfortable. None of it happened today, Grody. It's unbelievable. The Bears went 1-for-14 on third down against the league's 27th ranked third down defense. Chew on that.
Unbelievable. And you go back, if you look at the third down numbers in the previous two games, not quite as bad as that.
Still bad.
Pretty damn close. So
3-for-14 in Arizona, 2-for-12 in Washington. Gross. Oh,
there it is. Yes. And that's what it feels like. Like, for the first time this year, even going back to those first couple of wobbly games for Caleb Williams, the first time I felt like there were some numbers like 3rd and 7 and 3rd of 8, which felt like 3rd and 22. Like, any time the Bears were behind the sticks, if they had poor field position, which actually they had pretty good field position a couple of times on the day today, thanks to a punt return and a forced turnover as well. You had the ball on the 48 in that case and really couldn't do anything with it. So that's another thing that bothered me about it. But let's get to some of the audio, because, like I said, Dan and I were there. We were both in the locker room, we were in the interview room, we were in the press box, we were all about Hallis Hall for this game, seeing it all happen in real time. What did I say?
Hallis Hall.
Yes,
we probably would have been better watching it at Hallis Hall today. Yeah, it would have been less depressing somehow.
It would have been nice to answer. I would have gone to a field where they weren't playing. Let's hear what the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus, had to say about this game. Moreover, really about potential changes for this coaching staff.
defense can't consistently find ways to play complimentary football, the team just won't win games. Ultimately, you're going to be held accountable to that, perhaps maybe even to the point of termination. Coach, my question to you is, are you willing to be fired without ever exploring the possibility that the offense could be better with better offensive game planning and play calling by changing the coordinator?
Yeah, like I said, we'll look at everything. I think it's look from everything from the top to the bottom and making sure that we're finding the answers to move the ball on the field, you know, play better as a football team on offense, defense, and special teams.
Change in offensive play caller is on the table this week?
I just said we're looking at everything. Everything's going to be looked at.
Matt, what has to be different? Because, I mean, the message has been kind of similar the past couple weeks about getting the offense going. So yeah. How do you guys find a different route?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you got to go, you know, go all the way down to it and look at everything. You know, I think that's important part of it. You know, we need a spark in there. We need to be able to move the ball in the scoring zone to be able to score when we get there. So that's just really it.
When was the first time that it raised a concern with you that there's a disconnect between Shane and his offense and the players running it?
Yeah, like I said, we'll have to look at everything. We're going to look at everything there on offense, defense, and kicking. You know, right now, when you lose three games, there's a disconnect, you know, not just on offense. It's about playing complementary football, helping each other out, seizing opportunities, and creating momentum. So that's what it's about.
There are chance from fans calling for your job and frustration. Did you hear that, and how do you respond to that?
Yeah, just get back to work. You know, I know it's part of the job. It's part of it, but you got to stand strong. You got to be the same leader that you've always been. And, you know, make the necessary adjustments that you need to make. You know, be strong and courageous throughout it all. Look at each other in the eye, tell each other the truth, and that's how I know to do it.
How do you rectify 23 straight offensive drives without a touchdown? When it's not just today, it goes back to the Washington game, the problems.
Yeah, the same thing. The same thing. We've got to find that. Look at everything. We got to find the continuity there. You know, find the structure that we need, the winning formula that we need to score points.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Eberflus, Dan, has run out of ways to answer these questions, quite frankly. But he did say at the beginning that they're going to look at everything. That means to me there should be, right, Dan? I mean, you laugh, but I mean, that does mean that there's going to be some consideration, or am I being naive?
Yeah. No, it has to be. You have to shake this up at this point. Your season, if it hasn't already slipped away, it's at the edge of the cliff, and it's about to go over, and you better figure out a way to get something changed. I don't even care if the change doesn't work. Something needs to change. And then there's all this talk about looking inward and finding answers. Well, you know, eventually the quest for answers has to produce actual answers. Otherwise, you're just running around like a dog in a yard chasing his tail. I mean, Grody, you're talking about an offense today that ran one play from inside the Patriots' 30-yard line. In a game against this defense that had been allowing 360 yards a game, you ran one play from inside their 30, and guess what? It resulted in a two-yard loss by DeAndre Swift. You were back outside the 30-yard line. Second half, they only ran two plays inside Patriots territory. And after halftime, one of them was a sack, one of them was an incompletion. Look inward. see this stuff. Find out that you had 13 plays for negative yardage today, 14 others for no gain. You had four more false starts today and now have 19 on the season. Fingerprints. Whose fingerprints are on that, right? Like, you know, accountability. You got to take responsibility. When? How? Why? Explain this. And by Monday afternoon, there better be clear-cut direction on how they're going to shake this thing up, even if the shakeup doesn't work.
Yeah. Guess what? Your rookie phenom quarterback has regressed. That's what's happened. He's taken a step back. And that doesn't mean he can't sprint back out in front and get good again. But as if there's not, we haven't really, you know, gotten to Caleb specifically, but he had one of those false starts in this game. He had another rough game today. He was critical of the fact that he was sacked 9 times. I think that on the first 2 drives, he took really bad sacks. And again, I understand it's not all his fault, but there has to be a certain amount of culpability and a certain amount of awareness from Caleb as well. And I know he was critical of that. He was specifically critical, Dan. I think he was talking about the 4th-and-1 play or 4th-and-2 maybe to DJ Moore, where it's a screen pass and they lose 2 yards. So those were the 2 things that he was particularly down on himself for. And I know we're going to stay with Caleb throughout the week, but let's hear what Caleb had to say in regards to what Matt Eberflus is talking about, signaling a potential change in play caller. Caleb Dan was asked the question, could you adapt to a new play caller?
I mean, they're not going to reinvent the wheel in a sense, you know. We're midseason. You know, that's not a decision for me. I have to do what Coach says. I have to do with whatever decision he makes. I'm going to have to be fine with it. Will I be able to adapt? Yes, I will. We will be able to adapt whatever Coach decision he makes. And then, you know, from there, we have to go out there and execute and win games.
What'd you think, Dan?
Yeah, look, like, we don't need to treat Caleb with kid gloves. He played terribly today, you know, and he'll own that. Again, he wasn't behind the best offensive line in front of him, but you got to make more things happen in a football game like this than the quarterback did. He's number one overall pick in the draft for a reason. You've got to figure out a way to distribute the football and get things humming. He brought up, obviously, Grody, as you mentioned, the sack. That was when they were inside scoring range, right? Like, you're inside the kick line. You've got Cairo Santos. The last thing you can do is take a sack to take your team out of field goal range. He did it again. That can't keep happening, right? Like, that's an error that a rookie quarterback can make once, twice, 3 times. It can't happen 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? So that's a huge area of concern with Caleb Williams right now, is the situational awareness, which he owned up to after the game. The pass to DJ Moore on 4th down that went for minus 2 yards, he said, look, like, given the look we were seeing, I probably should have just given the ball to DeAndre Swift, but I thought we had something outside where DJ could make a play happen. I would like to rewatch that when I get an opportunity, because it feels like if it was blocked up, there was a chance to gash it. And there were several plays today where you're like, okay, well, you know, what's going on with the perimeter blocking? Why are they out of sync? Is this offense trying to do too much? Why does everything feel like an effort to gain 2, 3, 4 yards? Grody, do you want to tell me a guess on how many snaps the Bears took today that resulted in a gain of 15 yards or more?
Oh, man. 2?
2 is correct. 18-yard completion to DJ Moore on the first play, second half, which you brought up to DJ after the game. And the other one was a roughing the passer penalty on a play with 2 minutes to go and a blowout loss where Caleb Williams got knocked down. That's the entire log of plays or snaps that resulted in 15 yards or more for the Bears. Inconceivable in a game like this, a get well game with the stakes and the urgency that we needed against this opponent with a rookie quarterback and a defense that isn't really good and is depleted, to put this performance on the field. I don't know what to say. Like, it's going to be just fascinating to watch how the outside world reacts to this compared to how the people inside 1920 Football Tribe react to this. And again, I tell you, I circle back, Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, every single one of them has to have their voice heard in a significant way here, in ways that push this team in a direction that changes things. I don't know where it goes from here, but you can tell that it's gotten maddening here. You brought up the fact that had we watched the performance at Hallis Hall today rather than Soldier Field, we probably would have been more entertained just watching the grass grow out there on fields 1, 2, 3, and 4 over there.
Amen. One other thing on the Caleb, what ultimately was the 4th down screen that was no good. That's your opportunity for, like, I know coaches love saying complimentary football, and we like using that too because it sounds fun, but there was your opportunity. The TJ Edwards had changes the momentum completely in that game with a nice two-hand grab over his head. You got the ball on the 48, and you do nothing with it. The other drive, before we hear more from Caleb Williams, the other drive that really bugged me in the first half is when it was 10-3, Pat, late in the first half. Caleb with a 10-yard run followed by a loss of four by Roschon Johnson and then an incomplete pass to Roschon Johnson on 3rd and 16. I didn't like, was that the pass? I definitely have to watch this. Maybe you saw it better than I, Dan. The pass to Roschon Johnson, was that Roschon Johnson missing the ball? Was that what happened? It was a rocket.
I felt like there was a lot of heat on it. You know, in that sequence to me, I starred that in my notebook as it was happening because the Bears went from 3-3 to down 10-3, but you're down 10-3 with the football, getting the football to start the third quarter. So if you put together a productive drive, even if you just squeeze a field goal before halftime ends, now you're down 10-6 and you're getting the ball, and now you got that football game right within your reach of where you want to go at home against this opponent. They give up the touchdown, they end up punting the football, and then they give up a field goal to end the half when they kind of melted down defensively, including a offsides penalty on Montez Sweat when he couldn't get back across the line of scrimmage for what was a clock-killing situation by the Patriots before they lined up for a 37-yard Joey Sly field goal on day that you saw was really gusty out here. Every yard matters in that situation. And so, Montez, if you're not going to be able to get across the line of scrimmage, get your ass to the sideline. Get across the sideline on the west side of the stadium and be off the field because all the Patriots are doing is lining up and throwing the football into the ground to stop the clock for Joey Sly. Unfathomable that a team that preaches situational sharpness is that unpolished and that sloppy in key moments of games against bad opponents.
I am being told by our producer, Adam Studzinski, who has had the advantage of watching the TV copy for a little bit of light on one thing, that the throw to Roschon Johnson apparently was deflected by a defensive lineman. The one that was just, it was very obviously hard to tell. You're getting a couple different versions from Dan and I right now from what we saw, but it was like, how did that go through his hands? But that makes more sense. And now this name, if we're doing these bad drives, maybe the most critical one, Dan, because of what came after it in the fourth quarter, 16-3 Pats. The Bears convert on a 4th and 2 to Swift, but then a false start. I think then that's where Caleb had the 4th and 5 false start, sets up what felt like and was an impossible 4th and 10. And then the chance of fire fluce came raining down. Well, I wouldn't say raining down from Soldier Field, but definitely a cross section of Soldier Field was doing the fire fluce chant, which fluce heard and just kind of said, you got to move on. But he heard it, man. He definitely heard it.
2021, the time machine takes us back there for weeks and weeks and weeks of fire Nagy chants that not only existed inside Soldier Field, but were happening at Bulls games. They were happening at Matt Eberflus's kids' games in the high school ranks, right? Like, this is the territory we're in. We left London 4 weeks ago with a team that was 4-2 ascending and had a favorable schedule leading into the division games. And here we are, fire fluce chants, 4-5 football team. All belief seems to be receding. The players in the locker room seem dour. There's no real sense that the leadership from the coaching staff is providing reasonable solutions. And I don't know where we go from here. I mean, you saw the body language of Cole Kmet, of Kevin Byard, of DJ Moore, of whoever else we talked to in the locker room, of Caleb Williams afterward. This is not a football team that feels good about itself right now. They better figure out a way quickly to salvage something out of this season in a way that gives you some faith that this isn't just a complete free fall, like Wile E. Coyote, you know, getting knocked off the edge of the cliff by the Roadrunner here, because I've lived that too many times, and there's too many weeks left in this season for that to be our existence.
Yeah, if the acne packages start showing up at your house, then know that there's an anvil in there and there's a problem, and you may not recover as well as the Coyote did. Dan, the next two cuts I want to play for you and for our audience here, because I think that they were a little bit more interesting in terms of the, endorsement or non-endorsement. One from Kevin Byard and one from Caleb Williams. We'll start with Caleb Williams, who was asked, are you confident in your head coach, Matt Eberflus?
Am I confident in my head coach? Yes, I'm confident in my head coach. You know, they brought me here for a reason. They brought all of us here for a reason. As players, when we're in the locker room, we know how good we are. We know how good we can be. And right now, we're not executing. We're not hitting on cylinders. And we have all the confidence in each other, to be honest with you.
Yes, I'm confident in my head coach. Is that the way I wanted to hear it, Dan? Or
it's a tough position for Caleb to be in, standing in front of, you know, the entire country essentially at that podium after the game and be asked that question directly. I don't know where they go from here. You haven't sensed from within that locker room that there's a ton of belief, you know, and we've talked about that at length here for the last 2.5 weeks about how that loss in Washington really exposed some things, and there's some cracks in the foundation. And yeah, man, I have a feeling you and I are going to be buckled in for a long Monday, because either there's going to be significant change made that's going to be worth talking about, or there's going to be no change made, which is going to be worth talking about. And so that's going to be a fascinating moment on Monday. I don't know if we're at noon tomorrow, if we're at 10:45, if everything's going to get jostled around, but we'll see. We'll see what the Bears decide to do.
We're getting towards the end here, but Kevin Byard here on the coaches. Here we go.
Guys in this locker room still believe in this coaching staff?
I'm not going to go there. At the end of the day, we got to play better, and we got to win.
Not going to go there. Didn't want to go there. Now, I don't want to read into any of this stuff, but there's another opportunity right there to be like, of course we believe in our coaches. You know, it's about it. No, I'm not going to go there.
It's for people above them to decide, right? And that's the thing. Being a player in this football league, you can voice your opinion privately. You can hope that the people in charge can hear your voice and understand what you're saying. But as KB told us today, this thing is snowballing. He was happy to acknowledge that there's a snowball happening in this 3-game losing streak. And I don't know what they do to stop the snowball, because if it gathers too much more, it's gonna take down a lot, you know. And we talk about the significance of this season beyond this season. Your rookie quarterback has to find a developmental arc that doesn't break him. You know, you can't be sacked as often as Caleb Williams has been sacked and not lose some form of confidence, you know, not some form of comfort back there. And so somehow, some way, they've got to start there and getting that quarterback comfortable in a way where he can play well. You can feel it, Grody, as you did, like talking to DJ Moore. He's frustrated. He thought that there was a lot of man coverage today, and there were a lot of opportunities to beat man coverage with proven football players that have shown they can beat man coverage, and he didn't get the ball a lot, you know. And you felt that. What were his final numbers today? The 3 catches, 24 yards. DJ Moore, 3 for 24 against this defense. Get out of here with that. Like, so find out why that's happening and figure out a way to get it unlocked soon, because guess what? You know what's happening next week? The Green Bay Packers are coming to this field that's right behind me right now, and they're coming with Tom Brady and the number one crew on Fox, and we're going to be back in a bright lights, big stage game for a lot of people to watch. Where are the Bears? And this organization so often walks into those games against the Packers and gets exposed as a laughing stock franchise in the NFL. That's what's waiting 7 days from now, Mark, if they don't get things quickly turned around.
And I will leave us with this one more from DJ Moore. This is perfect because it leads into, and I don't know if this is the solution, because we've heard things similar to this in the past, but DJ Moore on what needs to be done differently this coming week.
What needs to be different? Everybody gets held accountable throughout practice. Even if it's a little like a flinch for a false start and it got to come back, or if some detail with me or any other receivers is, we just got to run it back and get on that person.
Is that still not happening enough?
It's happening, but I think you've got to take it to another level.
Take it to another level. Look, DJ Moore also was very careful with his words throughout most of the interview today. One thing he did say in his DJ Moore way is the captains will get together and we'll figure this out.
There we go again. More captain meetings, more detail needed, more walkthroughs that need to be smoother, more this, more that, more Monday through Saturdays. They had a great week of practice. They threw another turd on the field on Sunday. Here we go again. You know, like, how many times are you going to live it before you find ways to change it, you know? And it's just the Groundhog Day nature of all this, Grody, is it's mystifying. And I know the city of Chicago feels it at an intense level right now. And anybody that has, you know, airwaves to attend to over the next 5 days is going to have some pretty live wires going on, because it's an ugly time for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and we appreciate you guys that are listening, choosing the Take the North podcast. Dan and I appreciate it. We like that you subscribe and like and comment and check it out on YouTube, or we're on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We actually love doing this, as bad as things are for the Bears right now. It's still a love affair, but this team is it's a mess right now. And I wasn't even saying that last week. It's a mess right now, and things need to change at Halas Hall. For Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune, for our fine producer, Adam Stasinski, I am Mark Grody. This is the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. I'll see you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.